Hello.
Hola. That's right.
I think it's appropriate. Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Jim just came back from a seemingly rather wonderful vacation. Where is it, Cancun?
Yeah, 8 days in Cancun. It was a wonderful trip. And I brought you a nice little gift. And you're wearing it now.
And fantastic. This is like, I mean... It brings a tear to my eye. You
can call me Blondie.
I was looking for the poncho that looked as close as we could get it to Clint Eastwood.
And you sure found it. This is amazing. I mean, and you know what? It's incredibly comfortable. I'm just like blown away. This is like the greatest gift somebody's ever brought back to me before. This is amazing.
De nada, mi amigo.
Gracias, senor. So first full day of work today?
First full day of work. We had a fabulous vacation.
I'm glad for you.
Oh, we had such a great time.
That's awesome. We really did.
I
saw the pictures.
No, the weather was fabulous. You know, that was the first real vacation I've had in 20 years.
Good for you.
The 1994 Daytona 500. I did 10 days of speed weeks. But that wasn't relaxing.
No, it's a different type of vacation.
A whole different kind of vacation. This was different. Our decisions were, do we want to start drinking at 9? Or 9:30 in the morning.
What would you like for breakfast with your margarita?
Exactly. And it was wonderful. So,
and so what now? Next is Detroit.
Right. So I'll be traveling to Detroit.
There you go.
So I did 8 days at Cancun, drank an awful lot of tequila, frozen margaritas left and right. That's all that we drank. And I couldn't wait to get back to hopscotch.
Hey. Yeah, you know, and, you know, we've had a little bit of a break, folks. It's a few weeks into the new year now, and, you know, we had a nice little year-end, I think it was a scotch sipping, wasn't it?
We did Cardew. We did right around New Year's. Actually, it was just before New Year's Eve when we recorded that one.
And now we've come up with something new for the new year, you know.
While we were discussing Cardew, you brought up the Japanese.
Exactly.
And you said, while I was away, you were going to try to locate something.
I did.
What did you come up with?
I came up with the Yamazaki.
Yamazaki.
Yes. It's a single malt. It's a nice scotch. It's not a scotch. It's Japanese whiskey.
Right.
You know, it's from the Suntory distillery in Japan. Mm-hmm. They also make a blended scotch, Hibiki, and they make another single malt that's a little bit more, at least this is the way it was explained to me, this is more of the Speyside style whiskey.
Oh, so this should be up our alley.
Exactly.
Here.
And the other one's a little bit smokier. You know, this is supposed to be a little cleaner, a little straight up, mm-hmm. and we're going to take a little sip of this and see what we think. Okay. I've heard that the Japanese whiskeys are more, I'm not going to say cleaner, but a lot more exact in the way that they brew compared to the Scottish. So we will see what it looks like. It already comes out of the box a nice, wow.
Actually, that's a little darker than I expected.
Very dark goldish color, is it? Yeah. No, actually, it could be a tinted bottle.
I think you might be right.
So we'll unwrap that and, you know, give it a little taste and let you all know what we think. I'm pretty excited.
Well, will you do the honor, sir?
In fact, I will. Thank you very much, sir. I like it. It's a nice, stout, healthy handful bottle here.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think I see something that disappoints. Screw cap. You don't get a good sniff out of plastic.
No, I don't suppose.
Well, let me see a little snifter there, my friend. See what we can get out of that. Nice color.
It is a nice color. Nice scent.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a
kind of fresh,
very subtle iodine-y smell to it.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I was actually going to say kind of misty.
Mm-hmm. Got a nice, kind of a dark gold color to it.
Yes, it's fabulous. It's very deep, very rich color.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's a very nice color. This is definitely a deeper, rich, not quite amber, but gold. Solid gold.
Right. Good deep gold.
Yes. It's got a really subtle sense. There's a lot of sweetness.
A lot of sweet to it.
To the nose, you know. You can't smell it like real fruity, but it's got a subtle. I can't even put my finger on it, but it's got a...
Maybe we'll taste it better.
Perhaps. Shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Hmm. interesting. It hits the tongue very cool.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like that sensation you get when you take a sniff of it.
Mm-hmm. But it fills your mouth very quickly, too.
It does. It's a nice flavor, a little sweet.
It's got a very sweet upfront taste right in the tip of your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Fills up the whole front of your mouth, but then it, you get a full taste following it. It's very interesting.
I'm still getting that sweetness.
What I don't get is there's not a lot, there's no wood.
No.
I guess there's a subtle, tiny little hint of smoke to it. Hmm. It's definitely a sweet taste. It's a sweet overtone.
Yeah.
It's very good. This is a very tasty whiskey.
And it's got a little bit of the warmth.
Mm.
A little more than the last couple that we've had, actually. Cardew didn't have this much warmth to it.
Mm-mm. No, but it's not it's a full sensation. It goes down your chest, but it doesn't come back.
Right. The backdraft, as you call it.
Right. There's still no backdraft, but you get a full breath with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I would describe it. It fills your lungs as well as your taste.
This is very good. I really like this.
Mm-hmm. It's a sweet taste. It's very clean. Full taste, but it's not an overly complex taste. Remember with the Cardew, every sip was some other flavor.
Right.
This is a consistent, but it's still very good.
This is a nice all-around
This is a good
whiskey. If you've had whiskey before, you know to expect a little heat. Some are more than others. This one is not. It's rather mild.
You know what I would say about this? This, and I don't say this, you know, this is like a summer whiskey.
Hmm.
Good whiskey on a hot day.
It is light.
It's light. And it's cooling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you have the chest heat.
Right. It's kind of the duality of whiskey.
Right.
It can be cool and refreshing in your mouth, and you get a little bit of that burn. If not a burn, this is more like a warm caress, but you get a little bit of that heat in the...
I like this a lot.
...in the finish.
Well, you know I'm going to have to try. Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to trying.
I'm going to drop a little bit of water in this here. See if we break up this taste a little bit and see what more we can get out of it. It's the beauty of whiskey.
I didn't put much water in mine. Probably half as much as you put in yours.
Hmm. You know what? Water doesn't do this whiskey very well. Not that it doesn't taste as good. It brings out a slightly more bitter taste. It definitely, I'm going to say it waters it down. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, seems like logically you water whiskey, you know. But a little drop of water usually breaks the flavors apart. But I'm thinking this whiskey does not have...
enough complexity, maybe? To
have the need to separate the flavors.
Right.
So there's not three, four, or five different distinct flavors involved.
Right. There's no layering of anything going on.
So this is a pretty straight up, you know, it's not like a biting bourbon, which, you know, you can definitely taste the grain. Obviously, it's a well put together bottle of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Around here, there's not a lot of Japanese whiskeys. So, and this is, you know, one of your most popular brands. In fact, this company, I was just reading the other day.
You sent me a link to that.
Jim Beam company.
So, speaking of bourbon.
I mean, we'll probably see a lot more of these types of whiskeys in the United States now because, you know, the Japanese are trying to establish a name for themselves in the business. And,
right.
You know, I'm finding out you and I are probably a little late to the whiskey rush, but it's becoming more and more popular. There's a lot more whiskeys.
Right.
There's a lot more people appreciating. It's just like beer. You know, beer
craft
has gotten
beer.
To become craft beer. Beer is something that you brew 6 months later, you got it out there. The thing about whiskey is you've got, I mean, this is a 12-year-old whiskey.
It's a big investment. It's a big investment in time to,
right.
to create it and age it and hope that it comes out, you know, as it does.
Exactly.
So for the Japanese to take their cues from the Scottish, it's very Scotch-like.
I would definitely rate this in the Scotch category.
Oh, yeah.
And it's definitely a fine single malt. And I'm saying this about this particular Japanese whiskey. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about the distilling and the different varieties that there are available that I would say they all rank in the Scotch world, you know. But I would definitely grab a bottle of this before picking up a Jameson's or you know, or another bourbon or something like that. This is still a treat.
The advice that you received that this is similar to a Speyside single malt. Yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah,
I'd say the Speysides are a little bit more complex.
More complex, yes, but this is in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly similar. Is this something we should try chilled? Do you have any stones chilled?
I do. Cover the rocks.
All right, so we have our stones.
Yes, and here's what I find about the stones. It's not like putting something on ice. It's not meant to turn this to ice cold drink.
Right.
It gets it chilled. It's a nice, and you can feel it in the glass. It's not like an ice cold lemonade on a hot summer day. It's not going to drip condensation off the side of the glass. It's going to be cool to touch, cool to taste.
And almost instantly, the glass.
And it does. It cools it off pretty much instantly. The rocks hold their temperature a good long time in the whiskey, so it keeps it at a below room temperature, more to bring out the flavor of the whiskey.
Right. Now, we tried this with Cardhu, and it really did change the character of that one, which we liked at room temperature. We liked it even better chilled.
You know, I think this has a similar effect. It's cooler. It's a cool whiskey to begin with. And this makes it an even cooler whiskey.
I think what it did was it took a little bit of the heat out of the...
The finish.
The finish.
Actually, I was just going to say that. Now you don't even get the whole...
Not as much.
That full breathing effect on the way down.
It mellowed it.
It did. It mellows an already mellow whiskey.
This might not be a bad one to introduce to a new Scotch drinker as well.
I would agree.
It's not terribly it's not complicated at all. It's pretty straightforward.
No.
It's a little sweetness and a little bit of warmth.
Right. I think this is you're right. This would be a good Well, I mean,
if you've had any kind of whiskey, bourbon, anything, you're familiar with what we're talking about with the warmth. It can be heat. It can be a burn. It can be a gentle warmth like this.
Right. And this is a very good. I think if you're going to introduce somebody to the world of single malts.
I put this right up there with Oban, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think so. I think Oban's a good a gateway malt, we'll call it.
know,
opens the door to a new variety for people. And I think this would be right in that same wheelhouse. It's a very good, I mean, it's not just to say it's a beginner's whiskey.
Not necessarily.
But it's a good introductory whiskey to somebody who wants to get into something that's more flavorful and be a little bit more discerning of the tastes and the different types of experiences you can have.
Right. Not lacking in flavor, just it's not complex.
That would be correct. And I think that's our best assessment of this particular bottle.
We've tried it three ways, and it's...
We tried it three ways, and it's strikingly similar all three ways.
Right. All right, so this one, another winner.
I think so.
Well, in our, I believe it was in the Cardhu podcast, the last one, I think we made reference to beer, and I think we made reference to the Benjamin Franklin Poor Richard's Ale.
And we did.
Because I think we said something to the effect of, we will likely never see that again.
And I thought when I was looking at my email today that I happened upon an email from you from several years ago.
I'm surprised you didn't catch this.
I don't get the emails from them anymore.
Oh, you don't?
No. I looked at the email from you and I thought, oh, I found an old email from Jim. Looked at it again and I said, wait a minute, he sent that today.
It was for Benjamin Franklin's 300th birthday, which was when?
2006. 2006.
That was a long time ago.
Indeed it was.
They followed the original recipe of the Poor Richard's Ale. So Queen's Friday birthday. At noon, they're going to release a limited supply of it.
Yeah.
And what did we do today? We rearranged our schedule so that we can take a long lunch.
So that we can take a long lunch and go get at least a growler of Poor Richard's Ale.
Yeah.
There's no way we couldn't possibly do this. 8 years ago this week, we went down there on the first release of Poor Richard's Ale and decided it was the best beer we had ever tasted.
Now, you have a medical procedure coming up after the... Because the next podcast has to be Poor Richard's.
Has to be.
So shortly after that, that might be our last one for a short time.
Yeah,
what kind of time frame do you think before you have your drinking legs back on?
It's a
6 weeks or so.
Very good pun. Probably a good 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. So
we'll see you guys next time. And I'm Bill.
And I'm Jim. Thank you for listening to Hopscotch World. And
happy drinking.